Tuesday morning is always busy. Who do we have on the phone with us today?
We have Jim Sims, who today is our traffic reporter, too.
Oh, Jim. City Councilman Jim Sims and traffic reporter. Are you in the city helicopter high above our fair city this morning?
Well, not quite, but I felt as I was in that coming up the bypass, headed to campus. So, first of all, good morning, Mike and Keith. How
good morning. Morning. We didn't mean to throw you on the spot there for your extra job this morning of being our traffic reporter. Well, there's the
helicopter. You know, well, that's true, and I live on the west side, so every morning it's a choice. Do we go 3rd Street or not? And then there's the Vernal Pike exit, which is, or the thoroughfare, which is what I normally take. But it seemed crowded, so I said, oh, today's the 45-46 bypass day. And, of course, there's an accident, and all the 37 or 69 north traffic has been rerouted to the bypass. So, yeah, interesting day. And before we move forward, if it's possible, I'd like to wish a happy birthday to my colleague, my fellow council at-large member, Susan Sandberg. So today is her birthday.
Happy birthday,
Susan. And we'd like to say happy birthday to her.
Cool.
And now that we will start grilling you about why we don't have any roads that work here in Bloomington. Well, we know it's not your fault.
Let that be the next show.
That's exactly right. Well, we've got a busy morning already for you guys today. And just to catch up with where we've been here the last couple of weeks, the last time we spoke to you, we were getting ready to hear the mayor's decision on the Lenco Bearcat. And after all the public comment and everything else, the mayor came out with a very detailed and thorough report on the decision he chose to make. With the city council, where you sit, the involvement of your body of government, your council moving forward, tell us what the city council's involvement is in this, because we can ask you any question we want about how you feel about the Lenco Bearcat, which is, we'll get to that eventually, but what is the council's role in this moving forward? Did you have to sign off on what the mayor said? Do you have to help keep some of these things in order? I think that's the most interesting part of this.
No, I think, well, the first issue as far as council was what appeared to be the lack of transparency with this transaction right at the beginning. And the mayor has acknowledged that that was an administrative mistake. And I think it's just time to move on from that. So that was our first issue. The council's position is basically the legislative budget and funding. And there were funds approved for another project within public safety budget, and then those funds were reappropriated and then put into the coffers in order to move forward with the CERT vehicle. And that's been the gist of our discussions from that point forward. Me personally, I didn't think it was proper for me to make a public statement one way or another at this point, even though I did have a decision, and I've talked with tons of constituents and community members. But I thought it was proper to wait until the mayor made his final decision before it was okay for me to, well, not okay, that's not the word I'm looking for, proper for me to speak on my position.
Jim, what the mayor has outlined now, does this represent a compromise in your mind? Is this better than what was coming at first?
I think so, and I think it's, what my position the entire time from the moment I heard the report from Chief Decoff is that I think the precursor to this is that I sat on the Board of Public Safety for 7 years or a little bit more. So I have always supported having an armored vehicle for the protection of our CERT team members for dangerous, hostage, you know, heavy gunfire situations. So that's the first thing, and that's rarely wavered, if any. Then when I saw the Lenco Bearcat, the initial one that we were looking at, well, I was concerned with the optics, what it could do to add to the perception of militarizing our police department, what is the perception from some of the members in our community. And I'm not speaking just with the African-American community or minority communities or other marginalized groups, but this is an entire community viewpoint, and I just wasn't happy with it. So the vehicle that the mayor has authorized to purchase and move forward with is not the same initial vehicle that we were talking about when this first rolled out. And that, in my mind, represents a compromise in trying to solve the community discomfort, if there is such a thing, as moving forward.
Okay, now let's move forward to last Wednesday, where the City Council was scheduled to have a meeting, and the folks that have protested this vehicle came to the meeting and essentially disrupted the meeting and caused you to adjourn the meeting early, to call it early into the meeting. What was your view on how they handled that and what should have been done instead?
And when you say how they handled it, is
right.
it the opposition or?
The demonstrators.
I think, well, there's a couple approaches there. From their standpoint, protesting is basically civil disruption. And that's their goal. Now, us as City Council, we have protocols and processes, some legal rules that we must follow in order to take care of the fiduciary responsibilities of the city. So that's the conflict with us on how to compromise so that that group can feel like they've been heard, and that we can allow certain public comments for that. The meeting 2 weeks ago was a committee of the whole meeting, and I think you two both know this, but there is no public comment allowed,
right,
according to Bloomington Municipal Code, except for the item that's on the agenda. And, of course, that purchase of the CERT vehicle was not on the agenda. And we just simply can't allow that according to code. So that was the conflict. And our president, Dorothy Granger, really had no choice other than to adjourn the meeting and move forward, because there seemed to be no resolution at that point. So last week, kind of the same thing. There was a meeting with a couple of council members with, I think it's the Black Lives Matters group or some of the opposing groups, and there was an understanding, at least as I understand it, that what that group wanted was comments from council members about this purchase. And the first council member at the last meeting, Dave Rallo, started off to give his comments. And I believe every council person or council member had comments that evening, including myself. But apparently council member Rallo tried to acknowledge the anniversary of the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King, which some of those in opposition took offense to, which led to the shutdown again of that particular meeting. So that's where we are.
Now, you got a meeting tomorrow night.
What time is that going to be shut down?
Pardon?
What time is the meeting tomorrow night going to be shut down? It seems like this is a pattern forming here. But I think the question I asked out loud was, when this was happening, and we read about it in the stories, and this is why we love having you on, to give us the first person of what goes on here. We want everybody to have their chance to speak, but there has to be rules followed, correct? That's the point here, right?
I think from the council's perspective and administration, you know, how we administer city business, I think that's absolutely correct.
But the heart of protest is not doing things by the rules.
Exactly right. And I do remember, if you both can remember this, I remember one of my protests, and I've been in several, but one in particular was the Alan Bakke reverse discrimination case that we have protested, the reverse discrimination in the Supreme Court decision.
Mm-hmm.
And as I told some of those folks, you know, back when I protested, the least of my worries was about your rules, your processes, and your protocols. Now, I was a lot younger then, but I think the main approach on protesting is just that, and I think that's their main approach. So I think when we talk about protocols and processes, that's not part of their agenda.
And
so we're going to have to figure out, I don't quite know what it is. There's been several individual meetings or meetings with the group and a couple council people, meetings with the group and some individual council meetings. I think at some point, it may just have to be a council member, and there's many of those folks that are in opposition and wanting to shut down the meetings. I think we might just have to sit down and see what we can work out. I think the main problem is I'm not so sure I see compromise.
I was just going to ask you that.
It either is or it isn't in their mind. Either you're going to rescind the purchase of this Bearcat or there is no other option. And that's part of the issue, I think.
Is that part of today's political climate where, I don't want to say in the old days, that's not what I'm talking about, but what has happened to the negotiation? What has happened to the compromise? There has to be another way besides on or off, I would think.
Well, I would agree with that. And I think from a societal standpoint, it seems to be that there might be a modicum of distrust from some members of the community with the administration, with city government. There is a racial component there seems to be emerging from that standpoint. As far as representing marginalized groups, there is the optics, the perception of militarizing the police, much like we've seen in Ferguson and Standing Rock and other communities. And Bloomington is not immune. We're not trying to say we're perfect. We don't suffer or have to deal with some of those same social issues. But what we are saying is that we have pretty good relationships at this point with the police chief, with the mayor, with many of our community members. This, in our mind, is an issue of safety for our CERT officers. And moving forward, we do have matrices and protocols in place on how to deploy this vehicle, when to use it, when not to use it, that sort of thing. So I think we might have to add, from an ordinance standpoint maybe, a little bit more teeth, or where there's some legalities involved on when exactly it can be deployed or not deployed, and under what circumstances, and how many levels of authorization, and what matrix, when you check off these boxes, how many of those have to be met in order to lead toward a decision to deploy. We've talked about not militarizing the vehicle itself, so there are no mounted weapons, no water cannons.
Even the ramrods off to the side, if you're not.
It is off to the side. And I think these are forms of compromise that I hope would alleviate concerns, at least initial concerns, with the community.
And I think that all those points you've brought up in the mayor's, is a 15-page PDF file. I thought, reading through that myself, there was a ton of compromise in the sense that maybe even too much to the degree of why have this if you have to go through 500 steps to use it. I get all that. That doesn't seem to be enough, or maybe it didn't resonate with these protest groups because what more can be added in there? Have you seen other examples in other communities where you say, hey, well, we need to add two more ordinances? Is there any other place to look at and fall back on?
Well, I'm not so sure. We're still having conversations. I think there might be some resolutions or some other topics that we may not even have addressed yet. But if I may, I think from the protester standpoint and you know, other folks in the community, I think this goes beyond that. I think this goes to a social justice or injustice situation. I think, and let's face it, historically, vehicles such as this have been used against African-American communities and people of color, protests, these sorts of things over the history and the course in some other cities. And I get that, and I understand that, and you know, if many people don't know this yet, I am a black man in America, so I get all of that. But we're in this community, and it's twofold. We need to provide safety for our officers when needed. And I think one of the things that we've overlooked is there's hostage situations or situations where we need to remove victims away from a situation to increase their safety and to calm down that situation. So I think there's more issues than just having the vehicle and deploying it against populations that are marginalized, or what the perception is that the man wants to just mow down certain people and exhibit control, you know, and that sort of thing. So there's a lot of community discussion that's left to be had from a compromise standpoint. Us city council, and I guess I shouldn't speak for them, I'll speak for myself. I think as we move forward, some of the protocols that we put in place, the relationships with the chief, giving the Board of Public Safety maybe a bit more authority or oversight on some of these issues with this vehicle, I think there's several options that we can continue to move forward. And then the proof that's in the pudding is how, when we do have to deploy it, and we're hoping we don't, and we don't deploy it a lot anyway historically, never have. But I think that's where the rubber will meet the road, is what happens when there's a need to deploy it. Will these fears that some of these folks are raising, will that happen? You know, that sort of thing. So there's some things in the future that's hard to predict right now.
Jim, you've already established that in your youth you were in protests, that you are a black man yourself. You're the president, if anyone doesn't know it, of the NAACP. Do you feel compromised in any way in the dual role in city council on this issue?
No.
Okay.
Well, I mean, and I'll expound a bit. My role with the NAACP, and basically my belief in life, is that we stand up for non-discrimination and social justice, and we fight social injustices. Now, the NAACP is geared specifically toward African-American population, black Americans. But we do assist and partner with other groups and help anyone who has been discriminated against. We do have civil rights laws. We have legislation. And the NAACP is based in legislation, laws, and challenging some of these things in the courts. Now, city council, it's the same, you know, it's, I think many of us there, and I can't speak for them, are concerned about social justice as well. Do they see it and have the same life experiences and lived experiences that I do? Obviously, that's impossible. I like to think that's one of the reasons why it's important or useful that I am on the city council, and so I could bring a different perspective, maybe, or one that may not have been addressed. And we seem to have made some success in that area. Not that the other council members don't understand, but I think when we bring a perspective and put it right at the table where we can all discuss it and see it and observe and listen to that viewpoint, then I think that does nothing but help.
And I couldn't agree more. And that's why we enjoy having you on this program as well, to give people a look. We try to cover it from all angles, and that's the way to do it. And the one angle we know you cannot provide is a crystal ball. We're hoping that you can look into the future and help us out with this. But there isn't going to be an end game in this area. If Delenko Bearcat was removed off the table, then it's on to the next issue. How do you see this moving forward? Because you can't get business done if you're having protests daily. You've talked about other things that you're going to do perhaps with this group. Do you know what their longer-term visions and plans are that you can help communicate? Because it seems like running into a meeting and cutting the meeting short isn't really furthering their cause.
Well, that's true.
And I don't want you to speak for them because you're not in their group, and I understand that, but
that's true.
You've outlined down the road, and that's, I think that's the interesting part here.
Well, I could speak from my standpoint, and I think, again, and I've not met with the groups, not as a group. I spoke with individuals, and many of those points I have shared with them from a let's get the city business done and work it out with you guys, or your position, I should say. One of the things that we really don't, and I don't foresee anyone on the city council, and again, I'm hesitant to speak for them, but one of the things we did not want is to have those in opposition arrested and hauled out of council chambers. We didn't think that was the best way to approach it. Now, I think you both may be aware, and in the past, and this is prior to my joining the council, there was a gentleman, and I think I can mention his name, Mr. Grubb, that was right. removed from council meetings. And that is an option. That is something that's been discussed. And you're right. I don't have a crystal ball. I can't tell you what we're going to finally decide. But here's what I can say. We are pretty adamant that what we need to do is what we were elected to do, which is to take care of city business. So there has to be an agreement or a process by which we can get that done. Maybe it's just city council and with the opposition just coming in and nothing official, we just sit down and talk. But my fear is this, is that if the only option is take the Bearcat off and rescind this purchase or nothing. And that to me is the issue. If there's no room to compromise, then I'm not so sure what the value of meeting and discussing is.
Jim, the meeting tomorrow night, is there a must-do? Is there any way you can not conduct business tomorrow night?
Well, it's the first thing I'll say is that even the other meetings that have been adjourned early, we still have to get those items on the docket and deal with them at some point.
And you have to do that publicly.
Yes, we do. And it has to be, advertised right. and all of that. Tonight's meeting, it's a committee of the whole, mm-hmm. which is, again, the only comment on the agenda item. But obviously it'll be the bicentennial special session before the council meeting or before the committee of the whole meeting. And then in the meeting itself, what we really want to do is consider the approving of the executive agreement for the purchase of the existing hospital site.
Right.
And this is something that really needs to be done officially before the rest of the process moves on. And we all know that this project is looking at 2021.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some time to do certain things, but to be decently and in order, there are certain steps that have to take place along the way, and this is one of them. And after the discussion, one of the initial steps, I think, that has to be dealt with or to be decided is a better term.
Jim, let's talk about that, because today they're doing interviews with 100 community people. You're one of them. I'm one of them. About potential use of the land that the hospital is vacating. And then you're talking about the purchase price of that land for the city and that kind of thing. Where do you see all this going in terms of these meetings and what the community is going to say needs to happen to that site?
And before I get to that, I think it's important to note that the purchase price that we're talking about, I think $6.5 million. I think that the IU Health folks have been very, very generous in trying not to leave a brown or gray site in their wake. I think the property itself is maybe triple the value.
Yeah, you're getting a nice deal here.
Well, it is a deal, but, it's still in the heart of our city and, mm-hmm. and how we do it and develop it and grow it is what's important. So I just want to make sure that folks understand that the IU Health and some of the good things they're doing in negotiating and working with the administration. Now moving on, the consultant Urban Land Institute folks, and they, at the meeting I went last night, there was, 10, 12 of them maybe?
Right.
With different disciplines, from financing to, roadways and traffic to, retail. But that's what they're soliciting and trying to get from community members, some ideas of how we want to do that. Now, we've had a committee before, a hospital reutilization committee, and many of those ideas and thoughts have already been captured. But we're moving forward, and then they'll come up with their data. And that's, of course, the city council and the city can use moving forward, and particularly when city council gets into UDO work and ordinances and you know, that process itself.
Now, one of the things we do know is that as part of this agreement, the hospital will tear down what I'll refer to as the hospital structure itself. The parking garage is not to be torn down, and they'll restore the land to usable shape. That's part of the agreement.
Yes. And I think that's important. The other parcel is, of course, the hospital administration part there, and I think it's the core.
Right.
As many people remember, Mr. Bud Core.
Bud Core.
It's this KOHR building. And I think that is going to be saved as well.
Right.
And that entire 22-24 acre parcel, I mean, there's a lot of subsidiary buildings that were auxiliaries to the hospital. And obviously, there'll be some concern with those and how those buildings that are used, which is not the hospital proper, but on down the Hunter School area and back to where the old Bloomington nursing home was and, you know, in the Centerstone area and some of those buildings. So this is a major thing that will affect our community for many, many, many years to come. So we would just want to make sure we get it right as best we can and so that it can aid the growth of our city.
All right, Jim, great job as always. We really appreciate your insight and your perspective on everything that's happening, and we'd love to talk to you here in the next couple of weeks.
I'll be here.
All right, sounds good. We'll be in touch with you. And again, everybody remember, tonight there is the county celebration from 4 to 7. Right. Tomorrow night the city celebration is from 5 to 6:30, and that takes you into meeting time at 6:30, Jim. Is that correct?
That is correct. Actually, I think it's 6:40 is what it's scheduled, but yeah.
Give you a little time to get in there and get in your seats and do all that. All right. Great job as always, my friend, and we'll talk soon.
You gentlemen have a good day.
Jim Sims, City Council Member, President of the local NAACP chapter, and a great perspective on what's going on with everything in city government, and a member of the City Council. So great job for Jim giving us, boy, a big chunk of time this morning. That was fantastic.